Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning will be coming from 1 John 3:11 through 24. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My name is Andrew King, and I bring you greetings first from Dream House, where I serve as the program manager of Dream Big Learning Centers, and from my home church, Grove Street Church of God in Christ, where my pastor is Bishop Robert Perry Sr. I count it a blessing and an honor to be with you through Zoom, giving honor to Pastor Matt and to Tracy Dace, director and founder of Dream. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. As we come together to celebrate the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I count it a blessing to be able to stand with you and present the Word of God. Now, some of you may be wondering, he has the same last name as Dr. King. Is he related to Dr. King? You may see some similarities. We have the same last name. We're both good-looking gentlemen. We're both of African-American descent. We're both preachers. When you look at all those things bond us together. But me and Dr. King are not related biologically. But I like the way Pastor Matt put it. We are all related. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. Like Dr. King, I too have found a love for Jesus Christ. And I am honored to share with you his legacy. I'm honored to speak with you. Please join me in the reading of the Word of God. 1 John 3:11 through 24. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees that a brother or a sister is in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And we receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and we do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The last verse, 24. The one who keeps God's commandments lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this moment that we can come together as a body, as one family, united to worship and praise your holy name. God, I ask that you will use me as a mouthpiece to share your word to your people. And the people of God said amen. Amen. As we celebrate the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Tracy Dates stated that in Dream House, we are taking the opportunity to teach our dreamers about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. As we are teaching our dreamers about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King and about American history, one of the dreamers asked me, he said, Mr. King, why does Dr. King get his own holiday? My dad doesn't get his own holiday, and he goes to work every single day. What makes Dr. King so special? As I thought about American history, I mentally began to summarize an age-appropriate answer. The truth is, the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King is a legacy of American history. The legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King sets him apart from all the other world history makers because he believed in the action of love. Dr. King believed that love was the antidote for positive change. I dare not honor Dr. King without honoring his wife, Coretta Scott King, who also stood by her husband, raised four lovely children, and was a civil rights advocate of her own. The King spoke very loudly and very proudly about the need for justice, the need for equality, the need for freedom, social justice, courage, family, friendship, and forgiveness. But most importantly, their messages, their speeches, their sermons were about the love of God. Let's take a listen to some of these heart-piercing quotes by the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King says, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great of a burden to bear. Dr. King goes on to say in another speech, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. One last quote by Dr. Martin Luther King. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. As we look to honor the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, I think it is important to point out that he was a preacher. He was a pastor. He was a man of God who believed that the Bible was the foundation for his life. Dr. King would often use the Bible as a foundation for his speeches. He often used the Bible as the foundation for his beliefs on nonviolence. As a man of faith, he was a mouthpiece for justice, not only for people of color, but for the world. Moments ago, I just read 1 John 3:11. Now, this letter is written to the members of the body of Jesus Christ, to the churches in Asia Minor. The epistle serves as a reminder to the children, to the body of God, to love one another. As I was reading those scriptures, there are five key points that jump out to me. The first point is that John restates that Jesus Christ laid the foundation of how we should treat each other. Who better to set an example of how to love when the world seems to hate you? Another point that pops out is that Jesus, his death validated that love is more than words. Jesus here validated that love must be followed by actions. A third point, when we say we love someone, our actions should prove our declaration. Our fourth point, displaying love for another is evidence that we are the children of God, that we belong to God. And the last point, to show indifference to the need of others is a complete contradiction to the teachings of Christ. There is no shadow of a doubt that Christ is the head of our church, and we should follow in his footsteps. Dr. King and his wife, Coretta Scott King, believed in the messages of the Bible. They believed and they lived 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 11. Now to them, love and peace and nonviolence wasn't just a weekend habit. It wasn't just something that they taught their children, but it was an everyday life skill. Dr. King and his family was faced with many death threats, yet they believed love was the cure for the evil in the world. Faced with bomb threats, faced with threatening phone calls, bricks thrown through their window, yet Dr. King and his wife and his family believed in nonviolence. They believed in love. The love was grounded in the Word of God. Our love should be grounded in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps us love when it's hard. The Holy Spirit is a filtering system that checks out the contents of our hearts, and he purifies us through the Word of God. When we lay down our lives for someone else, God will reward us. Jesus Christ is a great example of someone who laid down his life for people who did not deserve it. We don't deserve the love of God, but that's what makes it all so much special. The Word of God and the life and legacy of Dr. King points out that love is an action, not just words. Those of you who give generously, whether it's with your time, with your talents, or with your treasure, ought to do so with an honest heart. Not grudgingly. Not because you feel that it's a way for you to just do something, but because you love that person from the bottom of your heart. When our actions are motivated by love, we can approach the throne of God with boldness and confidence. When genuine love occupies our heart and minds, the world sees the light of God through us. People of God, this is important. The truth is, we may be the only light that people see. So we must walk in love at all times. Matthew 5:16 is clear. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our love should point to the Father. Our actions of love should point to God. With our actions of love, the world will see our actions and glorify the Father in heaven. My prayer and my challenge to you is to be a light in a room of darkness. My challenge for you this morning is for you to love even when it's hard. My prayer for the church is that we will stand on love even when we are surrounded by hate. My challenge is to follow the words in 1 John that we will love one another. Now, I am not ignorant to the fact that love and loving someone can be hard. I am not ignorant to the fact that we face many trials and we face many tribulations, which makes loving so much harder. I am not ignorant to the fact that we are faced with many things that would deter us from loving and showing the love of Christ. But that is what makes love biblical love. This is what sets the people of God apart from the rest of the world. As the people of God, we are commissioned and commanded by Jesus Christ to love even when we are hated. Dr. Martin Luther King and the legacy that he helped create was a great example of that. Throughout the life of Dr. King, we see what it looks like to love biblically. Through the life and legacy of Dr. King, we see what it looks like to love when your life is on the line. Through the life and legacy of Dr. King, we see what it looks like to love biblically. Dr. King was a great example of loving in spite of hating. Faced with many trials and tribulations, it was his legacy to say, "Brother, I know that you may be against me, but I love you." When was the last time someone was against you and you went up to that person and you said, "I love you," and you meant it? You meant it from the bottom of your heart. It was hard, I know. But when we are in connection and in communication with the Holy Spirit, he will guide us, he will lead us to love in areas that we find hard. God is a good God. Amen? I am humbled by verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Here John is addressing his readers as children. Now this not only suggests that John was advanced in age, but I love that John is trying to show a family atmosphere. An element of dream that we have is we call each other brothers. No matter your background, no matter if you're related or not, we are all brothers in dream. We are a family. Here John is talking to his the body of Christ and to this church, and he's setting an atmosphere of an older elder talking to his children. There is no better institution that reflects the kind of sacrificial love that John is writing about than when it comes to family. Including himself, he says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Now this suggests that a father is giving advice to his children. John is telling us that we must stop saying I love you and put some actions behind it. Here he is saying, it's one thing to say I love you, but it's another to carry it with action and indeed. When was the last time you showed love in truth and indeed? The Christian love, the biblical love, is more than a feeling. It's more than just words. It involves the essential ingredient of action and giving. Many times when people say that they love another person, their only real action is from their mouth. An expression of love must be backed up by action. An expression of love that is backed up only by the mouth is not true love, like the Christ-sacrificing love that Christ Jesus gave to each and every single one of us, that unites us as a family, that unites us as one body. Despite our backgrounds, despite our heritage, we are one family, one body, one faith, one love. I am also humbled by verse 23. And this is his command, to believe of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Us, the people of God, the body of Christ. In this verse, John provides the crux of his epistle. When Christians, when the body of Christ, when the family of God acts in obedience and the giving of love, we gain self-confidence towards God. Faith in Christ and love for another brings us into a new relationship, into a deeper relationship with God, where he becomes our Father. And we are his children. Believing on the name of Jesus Christ includes accepting the fact that loving can be hard. Believing on the name of Jesus Christ includes accepting the fact that he is the Son of God who gave his life to pay for the penalty for our sins, bringing us, reconciling us back to the Father. Back to the creator of creations, back to God. Now, the second part of that commandment is to love one another. Now, the sequence is important. The command that we have both faith in Christ and also love for one another. Faith in Jesus Christ is the base of our relationship with God. And loving one another, even when it's hard, is another expression of saving faith in us. I'll close with this thought. Tragedy often dominates the media. The more horrific the crime, the more news coverage it receives, the crazier the world seems. With this kind of media attention, wickedness appears to have taken a position on our society. Many times when we look at the media, it leaves us questioning, what is love? It often leaves us questioning the true value of love. It is no wonder so many of us feel that love is just trivial. It's irrelevant. It's no wonder that so many young people question me at Dream when I tell them I love you. Do you really love me? Yet, 1 John in this letter, it reminds us that no matter what goes on around us, no matter what goes on around the world, we are commanded to love one another. The life and legacy of Dr. King echoes the word of God. The life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King echoes 1 John chapter 3. The life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King echoes love. His life and his legacy echoes biblical love. You see, Dr. King understood John's message about loving one another. Dr. King understood John's commandment to love even when we are hated. I am challenged by the actions of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I am challenged by his nonviolent stance. I am challenged by the biblical love of loving, even when hate stares right back at me. May the words and the deeds of Dr. Martin Luther King pierce our hearts and move us into action. May the words and the deeds of Dr. Martin Luther King lead us to be people of love, to be people of light, that our actions will lead others to our Father in heaven. As we honor the words of 1 John 3, my challenge for you is to look at ways to honor the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Let's remember 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. We must have love. Love is a basic human desire. And the evidence that we belong to the body of Christ is shown through the deed and the action of love. Love is more than a word. Love is more than a mumbling of our mouths. Love is more than just a four-letter word. We are commanded by the Creator of creations to show the world what it looks like to love when surrounded by darkness. We are commanded to love one another. As I look at the legacy of Dr. King, I am thankful for the commandment to love one another. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to learn about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you for the opportunity to learn what it means to love, not just with our mouths, God, but with our deeds and with our actions. God, our love can look different. God, our love can be put in action with our time, our talents, and our treasures, God. And so, God, as we reverence Dr. Martin Luther King and how you used him to speak on love and how you used his legacy to unite the people of this world, God, I pray that our hearts will be pierced by your love, by your example of what it means to love. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you. God bless you. And amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.